Well, I can tell you, folks, it's not going to be my best effort of the year. I'm trying to shake this cold or whatever it is for a couple of weeks now, and it's, let's just say, it's not on the downward side yet. We'll begin with Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. As we take up the words of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. We teach that our eternal destiny depends upon doing the will of the Father, as we've just read, without adding to or taking away, 2 John 9 through 11, and this passage, John gives an explicit statement that if you want to have God, you've got to be in Christ. 2 John chapter 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Without adding to and without taking away. In 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 22 and verse 19 reminds us at the very end of the revelation of Jesus Christ, where he says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So, our eternal destiny depends upon God's word, upon doing the will of the Father, upon doing it without adding to, and without taking away. We need to ask the question then, what is it about the will of the Father that makes it right? That makes it right to where we must follow it in order to get to heaven. And then ask the question, what is it about the will of man that makes it so wrong when we're talking about salvation? When we're talking about whether we're going to be saved or not? Let's answer the question first with John chapter 17 and verse 17. And look at the nature of what God says. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Speaking of God's word, we must recognize that when God says something, it is, by its very definition, by its very nature, truth. And so it is truth that gets us from earth to heaven. God cannot lie. Thought God could do everything, we might say. That's one thing he cannot do. Because once God says it, it becomes reality. It's just like at the beginning. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And as God spoke it, it came into existence. So if God says something, it must be truth. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before the world began, God promised certain things. And so those things cannot be a lie. He is infinite in knowledge. Job 38 verses 1 through 6. Job 38 verses 1 through 6. You can listen to many preachers preach on the same idea from denomination to denomination, and many have different ideas on the same thing. I think they need to listen to Job here, as Job hears the word of God. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hast stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with the doors, when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. Job was asking questions he could not possibly understand the answer to. When we give words that are other than the word of God in answer to people's questions about salvation, we need to ask the same thing here. Where were you when I made the earth, when I set the foundations of the earth? Where were you when all these things were done? Where were you when I used my wisdom and my glory in order to create the world? God has asked these questions of man, and man has not answered well. The difference between knowledge of man and God. God was there. God created the world. God had answers, and man could not provide for himself. God's word is that which reflects reality as it is, God being the ultimate source of reality. Remember when your kids were young? Two-year-old comes, "Daddy, I want a cookie." Mom said you couldn't have a cookie. "Daddy, I still want a cookie." Find that same child getting up on top of cabinets, getting up to where the cookies are. "Daddy, I want a cookie." But the reality is, Mom said no. And if Daddy's wise, he won't let you have a cookie, because Mama will be angry. Mama has good reason. Dad knows that. Because that child hasn't had any real food that day. All she wants is cookies. Reality is, Daddy's not going to let her have a cookie. Mom's taking a nap, trusting that everybody will do what she said. Maybe it doesn't happen in your house, but I try to make it happen in mine. And so the reality is, no cookies till Mom says so. What the idea is here, that the one who is an authority states what reality is, and it's not a lie. I know my illustration is poor because I'm not God. But so much more the fact that when God says no, or when God says go do, that's the reality, and it's not changing. Not changing. God's word is truth. God's word is that which reflects reality as it is, God being the ultimate source of reality. Doing the will of the Father, then, is acting upon truth, acknowledging reality and God's omniscience and his omnipotence and his omnipresence, all these things being the nature of God. So, what is it about the will of the Father that makes it right? Because it reflects reality. It's not going to change because God does not change. If you find a God that doesn't change, if you find a God that does change, he's not God. That's in the definition. What is it about the will of man that makes it so wrong? When we say, "I want to do it my way, I think it's boring doing it this way, and so we'll do it another way that some man thought up." Why is it wrong to do that? It's the way of death. Why is it the way of death? Proverbs 14:12, "The end thereof are the ways of death." Why? Peter realized his utter inadequacy. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. Jesus was speaking some difficult things. Things about eating him and drinking him in order to be in him. And so some of the disciples were going back. Verse 66. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter understood that he could not give the answers to these important, hard questions. He had a source, though, and he reckoned that source. The way of man is death. But Peter realized his utter inadequacy. And so he says, Thou hast the words of eternal life. Man without God on his own ends in death. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Man tried to be on his own there at the beginning. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. As mankind went down through the generations, he had long life, yes, but not long spiritual life. Falling away from God, generation after generation, until a man by the name of Noah stood and did the will of God and built an ark. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Why should you follow the statements of some man with regard to your salvation? Why should you go to John Calvin? Why should you go to the edicts of the popes of Rome? Why should you go anywhere but the New Testament of Jesus Christ? Peter recognized, Thou hast the words of eternal life. But there are men today who draw you away from the pure teaching of the words of Christ, having you follow them. And yet you're told that it's the ways of death. Why go that way? Man without God on his own ends in death. Following the will of man is acting upon a lie, denying reality and God's sovereignty. The will of the Father. The will of the Father is that you be saved. The will of the Father is that you follow his word in order to be saved. The reality is that his word and his will are the only ways to heaven. The reality is that following the words of man leads to destruction, leads to death. And so, that's the way we ask you to leave behind. That's the way we ask you, do you want better for yourself than the ways of man? Now, what are these ways of man that we can look around at? It may be the synod of some church who draws up a list of things that we believe in. You may or may not believe in those things. Some of them may be true, but one thing, you know, rat poison is 98% good and 2% poison. I don't remember the exact, but it's kind of like that. It's only a little bit poison, and a lot of it's good, but you don't eat rat poison because of that little bit of poison in it. What about the opinions of your family? It may be that your opinions, the opinions of your family are good most of the time. But you find out that they want you to follow a path that's not in the Word of God. That's the time to stand fast in the faith and not listen to the words of man, because they are the ways of death. Many times people object to hearing that. My mom, my dad, surely you're not saying they're going to hell. Well, if they're following the ways of man, if they're speaking a way that does not go according to the Word of God, yes, sadly, I am. It may be that you're following a way it's on the radio. You know, early mornings on that Christian station, you'll find some radio preacher, and a lot of those things sound good. They quote Bible, after all. But 1% of it, 1% of it is not true. And if you follow it, you're following the ways of death. This is why the Bereans decided that they were going to examine the Word of God to see whether what Paul said was true. The ways of truth, the ways of death. The way of man is death, the way of truth is life. Which way are you going to follow? If nothing else today, I want to gather in yourself the attitude that I'm going to follow the Word of God. That I'm going to follow the Word of God, and the Word of man is not going to be in my head or in my mouth. That I'm not following that. Someone leads me away from what the truth of the gospel says. I don't want that. I want within you that attitude. What God says I'm going to do. Remember the actions and the words of Samuel of old. That I'm going to follow the Lord. The words and actions of Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And on we could go. Statements by those men and women of God who only want what God says and that alone, because the ways of man are the ways of death. I'm sorry this had to be short this morning. Not feeling well. I'm going to get some more sleep when I get home and come back and try to give you something else this evening. But I need to regain my strength. There's those among you who have not been listening to the ways of life. Today, make that change. Demand the words of God as what you follow. No matter what the cost, leave behind the ways of man. No matter the cost. I don't know what the cost would be for you, but it's not worth following if it leads you to death. If we can assist you in your obedience this morning, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?